Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast podcast for the week of July 25th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach Jones, and we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have a ton of stuff to talk about. We're going to dive into all the Comic-Con news. We had a little tidbit of it last week. We've got all of it this week, including all the Marvel announcements. Until, like, whatever, was it 2025? We have Marvel news, like, timeline now. And a couple of DC things, although obviously they were kind of outclassed by Marvel. And they have like a lot of issues going on right now, but we'll get into all that and a bunch of other stuff later on. So we have to kick things off with sad news, unfortunately. We lost two more like legendary character actors. They're just like dropping like flies. It's I don't know what's going on this year, but it's just like we're losing like so many great character actors. David Warner passed away this week at age 80, and he's been in so much stuff. I mean, he was in Tron. He was like Ed Dillinger / Sark. He was in numerous Titanic. Yes, that was a huge one. Numerous Star Trek things. Like he was in like multiple Star Trek shows and movies. He was in In the Mouth of Madness, The Omen. He was investigating like Damien with and then he got his head sliced off by the giant glass plate.
In The Omen.
Yes, in the Omen, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of things where like I always forget he's in things, like especially when I realize he's the same guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yes, he's the Doctor Turtles 2, Time Bandits.
And, like, he looks the same age for the last, like, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once he hit, like, kind of that old Englishman style, he rode that from, like, the early 90s to, like, to now. You know, he maybe got thinner, but that was it. Like, he looked the same. Yeah, I really forget, like, his body of work just because he loses himself in the role. It's not like you get David Warner and it's just like, oh no, that's just like David Warner. No, it's like he becomes the villain, the bumbling scientist, the like rambling.
Every role he was in was like super memorable. Like he just like always did something like his role in Turtles 2 that you remember because he's like so like. Like goofy and bumbling, and then like Tron is like his like dual role, and then
Omen it's obviously super is weird like thing. I always forget that like it's the same guy in Titanic because he's the big bad in that, like he's the henchman, like the right hand man in that movie.
Oh yeah, he was also like for like 90s animated stuff, like he was like in a ton of our favorite things, like he was Ra's al Ghul for Batman the Animated Series.
Holy crap!
The Arc Mage for Gargoyles. He was in Freakazoid. He was the Loeb in Freakazoid. Like he was in Spider-Man. He was Herbert Landon.
Who was Herbert Landon again?
I believe he was. Oh yeah, he's the guy that like half transformed. Like he had like the half. He was like basically Two-Face. He was one of the guys working for like Kingpin, like because everyone was working for Kingpin.
Yeah, I just remember like Schneid because he had the cool ass like wheelchair, then like the not spider body.
Oh yeah, I think he was trying to figure out a cure for mutants, and then he backfired on him, and he basically turned into like half a mutant.
Ah, yeah, you're right. He has half a face of, like, a Two-Face, but then he full-on looks like a duck monster.
Yeah, and he used to be friends with, like, Beast.
It's weird, because it's like, I always thought he was, like, a one-shot guy, but he's in at least, like, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, he was also, Alpha, which I think was, like, the main, like, the big bounty hunter for Men in Black, the series.
Oh yeah, he was the
like recurring bad guy, like.
No, Alpha was the was the guy who was Jay's
Yes,
K's
but
mentor.
and then he became like a weird like alien
Yeah, he
hybrid thing or something.
every yeah, he started like changing, swapping out parts and became like a blob. That was a good twist.
So yeah, tons of stuff from David Warner. So that's a huge loss. And then we also lost Paul Sorvino this week as well, at age 83. Which I don't know what has happened. Like, we're losing like the gangster character, like Goodfellas cast at like an alarming rate. Like Ray Liotta, we just lost like a month or two ago. Tony Sirico just passed away like a week or two ago. Like, it's just like, what is going on with like the gangs, like our gangster actors? But yeah, obviously Paul Sorvino was also in Goodfellas. He was in The Rocketeer, was a great Paul Sorvino role where he was also in the mafia, but then like it turned like he like at the end of that movie where he's like finds out like there's Nazis involved. He's just like, well, I'm not gonna give you like jetpacks and Nazis.
Yeah, when they realized like they're mobsters, but they're American
I
mobsters.
think what was his quote? He's like, "Hey, we're criminals, but we're American." Like,
Something like that.
yeah. And then tons of he was one of like almost every TV show you can think of. Like, he was probably like a guest star at one point. Dick Tracy.
I think he was like knocked off in the beginning of the movie.
Well, he was. Yeah, I think he was Lips Manless. So.
Yeah, and he got like concrete and then dumped into the ocean.
But yeah, lots of gangster like mafia stuff from Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, it's just, you have him. He definitely has that regalness. I think it's funny because like he was in two musical movies like that also had like
Repo,
a
yeah.
sort of Repo, and then I think like Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, watch. And he's like a singer, I think. Like he actually has like a background in singing too.
It's like Joe Pesci.
I probably listen to Paul Zunino albums over Joe Pesci albums.
Yeah, so RIP to both those guys. That's another like two more big losses to like eight like 70s, 80s, 90s character actors. So moving on, we got before we get into like all the Comic-Con trailers, which this one is really this one wasn't at Comic-Con, but it was a couple days afterwards. But we got the first trailer for Samaritan, which is Sylvester Stallone becoming a superhero, or he was a superhero, now he's and he's trying to come back to be as a superhero. But like, so Stallone's playing a character named Joe Smith, who is formerly a superhero called Samaritan, who kind of looks like Steel. Like, I don't know why, like, it's like, I don't know if, like, Steel's the best, like, specifically, like, Shaq Steel. Like, I don't know if that's, like, the, like, reference you really want to, like, have your, like, cool new superhero movie to have, but he's got, like, a weird suit. He's got, like, a full body suit and, like, a hammer as his main weapon, so it's, like, okay, is he Steel?
Yeah, it seemed like that part is kind of unoriginal. Everything else is fine, but the fact that he just looks like Steel threw me off too.
Yeah. But
This
yeah,
is
but
the weird bizarro Elseworlds tale of Steel.
I think it's mainly just like that he uses a hand like he has this like superpowered hammer as a weapon, like a sledgehammer, like it's like a very like that's like the like one of Steel's main things. So it's like
Do they at least
was
make the hammer look a little different than the movie version of
Yeah.
Steel? Like it looks like a cosplay version of it.
Was it wasn't this was the movie Steel Hammer also like a gun or something?
It became like a rifle at the butt of
Yeah, because
it.
that was the whole thing. Is like he and Shaq and his partner were like making like these like basically like rail guns or something or magnetic guns or something, right?
Yeah, frequency guns.
Yeah.
And then one guy made it deadly, and then Steel decided to go for like non-violent. But I think I need to watch Steel again because I think some of those weapons still can like mess you up. Like it
Yeah.
probably won't be like a like a gun, but it'd be something like your organs exploded just based on like the vibrations. And plus, you still wield a hammer that like you still get smashed by that. Your bone, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not like, I guess in like superhero movies, hammer hits aren't as bad, but in real life, you hit someone a hammer, like, it's a good chance you kill them with it. But in this movie, I think Samaritan is what, PG-13? Because it feels mixed. I can't tell from the trailer where it lands in the, like, grittiness.
Well, it kind of looked like he was, like, messing people up, so it might be a radar. I'm not sure. It's from the guy who directed Overlord, the World War II horror movie, so...
Oh, really? Okay. I'm fine if that happens. Like, basically, he's, like, punching holes into people.
Yeah.
Or, like, people are trying to shoot at him, and he basically, like, you know, explodes them with a hammer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the basic plot is, like, yeah, Stallone was a superhero. He disappears for 25 years, and he's kind of, like, working as, like, a garbage man, sanitation worker, and then... This kid kind of like figures out, oh, hey, you're Samaritan, and then like is trying to like get him to come back as his hero because like the city is just like overrun with like gangs and criminals. It kind of definitely has like it's more toward like the like Hancock or like there's that Joe Manganiello movie from like 2 years ago, Arch Enemy. That was like a very similar like thing of like like this kind of like washed up like a kid finds like a superhero like who's like trying like kind of like in Arch Enemy, like Joe Manganiello was like homeless just like on the street, and this kid finds him and is like, hey, he's like finally starts to realize he's like a superhero from like another dimension. And this one's just like, oh, Stallone's like a garbage man, but he's like this like super powered, like he used to be like the big hero for the city. But yeah, that's going to be August 26th on Prime Video, a Prime Video exclusive. So you can check that out when that comes out. And speaking of kind of Stallone adjacent things that are also related to Amazon, we got some news this week that apparently MGM, which is now obviously owned by Amazon, is looking to make an Ivan Drago spinoff movie. So we have Creed, which Creed 3 is coming sometime. I actually got delayed today to like 2023. So Creed 3 is coming next year. But yeah, there's some sort of Ivan Drago spinoff movie. But it's not really clear if it's gonna be like a prequel, like young Drago, or like maybe like that like maybe post Creed 2, like them trying to like come back, or like him and his son like their career until they fought Creed, like. It's something involving Ivan Drago.
You think it's gonna be some like CGI, like
it's gonna be the Old Spice, like you ever seen the Old Spice like DH?
I didn't mind that. So it's like, huh? Like, what are they gonna do? Is it gonna be like, because like Son of Drago's story was pretty told well, yeah, that like I didn't need.
Do we know, because like he was obviously in like the Russian military, like I'd be into like some sort of like weird, it's like a war movie, and then it's like, oh, this guy is so good at war, we should make him like a steroid boxer like champion, like it's like,
oh,
Red
Scorpion, him, it's like Red Scorpion, but, like,
yeah,
it's like we don't send him to war and give him a gun, he goes out and boxes everyone to death.
Yeah
it's weird that it's gonna be like a prequel movie if you think about it.
I mean, yeah, we don't really know anything. Like, we don't know what it's going to be. It's just, it's going to somehow involve Ivan Drago from a movie. And then apparently the guy who's writing it, Robert Lawton, apparently he wrote a script called Becoming Rocky, which is about the making of Rocky. They basically said, like, hey, we're not going to make that movie, but like, here's an Ivan Drago, like, make a movie about Ivan Drago.
I mean, is it going to be tragic, or basically Drago didn't want to box, but like his father made him box or something, you know, like, is it?
Or like he wanted to like be like an actual like pure boxer, and then they just started pumping full of steroids.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think, how can you humanize them? Because the other thing about Drago is, because we don't know his origin besides Russian military, full of drugs, like shortcuts his way, but still had power. Like,
mm-hmm.
Even the guy took drugs, he still was like, he's a tank.
I guess there's like a pretty large gap between like and then Rocky IV, and then like when they came back in like Creed II. I mean, I guess you could like fill in that story, I guess. Although we got enough of that backstory in Creed II, but I mean, I guess it is kind of like the biggest gap you could fill for like just like. Like the Dragos kind of like trying to like rebuild their reputation or whatever.
Yeah, just sort of like their legacy, and then I guess they are, I don't know, training. Like the son would be the same age as like what's his face is a Hollow Kids story. Mm-hmm. Except I guess Drago was there all the time. Just telling him like how to box and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is it him raising his son? And it's like the Russian way.
Yeah. It's all the Rocky, like when Rocky, like all the training montages that Rocky did in Rocky IV, but then it's them like running up a mountain and punching trees and stuff.
Yeah. Just like the reversal of what he did last time. Instead of like weird 80s workout machines and steroids, it's just like hang out in a log cabin, lifting rocks.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently, so that's in development. I guess we'll find out more about that soon. I would assume since it's MGM, like, I don't know if Amazon would like have it actually make it be theatrical or like they would make it like a Prime Video. I don't think they would like send their own thing to like another streaming service. So it's probably either gonna be like a theatrical movie and then be on Prime Video or just go straight to Prime Video probably. But yeah, we'll find out. I guess we'll find out more later on there. So let's jump into Comic-Con news because there's a ton of stuff to talk about for that. Do you want to just jump right into Marvel, Chris, or do you want to work up to Marvel?
It's up to you. Dealer's choice.
Well, Marvel's the first tab I have open, so let's just jump right to Marvel. Saturday night, Marvel had their big panel. They basically laid out their whole timeline for going through Phase 6, which is going to be in 2025. So we have like basically an idea of what we can expect for like next 3 years from Marvel, and there could be probably more like sprinkled in there as well, but like so basically Phase 4 is going to end this year. So She-Hulk and Black Panther Wakanda Forever are the final two projects for Phase 4, and we got new trailers for both of those. So we got a trailer for She-Hulk and the first trailer for Wakanda Forever. Which She-Hulk, still the only thing that was super exciting was like the Daredevil cameo. That was basically confirmed in the new trailer. That's probably the main reason I'm gonna watch She-Hulk is just like to see what Daredevil's up to.
Grind your way through, get to that part.
Yeah, and then Wakanda Forever, very interesting trailer, like very Avatar-esque. Like it's just like, are they gonna like battle like Sam Worthington at some point? Like, are they on Pandora now?
Yeah, what do you think about the Atlantean or like whatever?
I don't know if they're from Atlantis anymore. They're from like they're fighting Namor at one point. Yeah, so Namor is like an Aztec Mayan, like some sort of like South American underwater king now, from like an underwater kingdom from that culture.
And I'm fine with that because Namor was kind of generic
comic.
So,
but then like his people are basically like they look like Na'vi. They're like blue and stuff. It's like
that's weird. They're just like very bloated looking pale people.
They were just like, hey James Cameron, can we have this like can we get some of that Avatar tech? Oh, it's Tolakan is the city that Namor is the king of.
Mm.
So that was like an ancient Aztec like paradise city that kind of had like a similar like Atlantis, like it like disappeared. And then it's just like it seems like, so they have to deal with Namor, and they have to deal with like obviously the death of T'Challa, and then who's gonna be new to the Black Panther, and then they have to kind of move on and like move rural Wakanda, and now they're back in like the world, so they have to like kind of like go like you know like go to the UN, go to like the other governments of the Earth and stuff, and deal with them. So,
I mean, this is post Endgame, where basically aliens exist. Like, I think people have seen like a lot of stuff, and I still got to figure out where it falls in line of the Phase 5 or End of 4. You know, like where this happens, because again, the scales are pretty high when like sea people are showing up, and they've been there for ever. You know, it's another like, okay, so why are they here now? Like, what, why, you know, and how they had to explain that. That's the biggest weird part to me, is that you had an Endgame event where basically everyone who showed up in the galaxy, and now you gotta explain where they've been. It's like the Eternal problem too. Do you think they're showing up because basically the thing with the Internals like woke them up, or like they kind of like resurfaced because like, what the hell is this in our ocean? You know, like what?
Maybe. Was that in like South America?
No, it was like the Pacific. But yeah, still, it's just like, you know,
he rules the whole ocean, like,
or like their kingdom had some repercussions, because you can't just drop like a mountain person or whatever, it's, like a god.
It's the Rick and Morty thing. Like, what was if you just go in the ocean, like. It's like, oh god, you're in the ocean.
Yeah.
He runs the police, Marty. He runs the police.
We had a treaty. You broke it.
But that's gonna be November 11th. And they'll be the final movie of Phase 4. And then, so next year we have Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which is February 17th. Secret Invasion is sometime in the spring of next year, which is a Disney Plus show, which is starring Samuel Jackson. That's going to pick up the thread from the end of Far From Home, where we saw that the actual Nick Fury is in space with Skrulls, like doing something. And then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is going to be next year, May 5th, and that's going to be the kind of final movie of this trilogy that James Gunn is making. So like, James Gunn will be done. There'll probably be more Guardians stuff after this, but this is gonna be like a big kind of like a big finale for like his story that he's been telling. And I guess I think they reveal that like the High Evolutionary is gonna be like one of the main villains. And then the High Evolutionary.
I don't know who that is.
He's like a weird, crazy cosmic villain. and also like Adam Warlock is also gonna be in it. They cast.
Yeah.
Will Poulter is cast in that was the big reveal, like when they like post credits for Guardians 2. And then Echo is going to be summer of next year sometime, this Hawkeye spin-off show. Loki Season 2 is sometime next year in the summer. The Marvels is going to be in the summer sometime next year. Blade is going to be November 2nd next year. Which, man, hopefully Blade is awesome. I wonder if we'll see him like at any point before the actual movie.
Well, wasn't he supposed to? He would have a small role in the Eternals, where he was there.
You hear his voice at like the last thing you hear in the Eternals for that like post credit scene where like Kit Harington like picks up the sword, is like you hear like Mahershala Ali being like something talking about something about the sword, like there's or something like, oh, you gotta deal, like you ready to deal with something darker or something, like.
So weird. Like, my issue is that, what a weird way to introduce something that the Eternals just sort of, it's not that interesting. Like, I have no desire to see the Eternals again.
Well, there's no Eternals 2 anywhere on the schedule that they have, so I don't know what is going on with them. Even though their movie ended up like a seemingly like gigantic cliffhanger that has like universal like repercussions, but. How long can they just ignore that, like the fate of the Earth is being judged by like this giant celestial judging like these three or four like Eternal people,
just hovering around
Yeah.
Just, you know, waiting for the waiting for like this guy to come back again.
So fall of next year is Ironheart, which is the Riri Williams basically becoming the next Iron Man, Iron Person show, which I think she's going to be in the Wakanda Forever. That's going to be her introduction to the MCU. I think in the trailer you kind of see her like building her armor.
Yeah, that was cool.
Agatha Coven of Chaos, which is the WandaVision spinoff, is going to be in the winter of next year or early 2024, like January, February of 2024. Daredevil Born Again is going to be spring 2024, which is the full return of Charlie Cox, 18-episode Disney Plus show. Which is like...
I know that's different. It's like breaking away from the formula.
Yeah, that's like even more than like the Netflix seasons got. Like the Netflix seasons were like what, 13 episodes or like something like that. Now we're getting 18.
Also a weird number.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hopefully it's good. I mean, I don't know what to expect from like a Disney Plus version of the Netflix shows. I guess there'll be like a interesting, like, are they gonna be like as violent? Is it gonna be like, are they gonna tone it down? Like. I mean, they do have R-rated movies on Disney Plus now. They're like Deadpool and Logan are on there now. So, and on the previous Netflix shows are on there too. So it's like, I guess if, as long as you like deal with like the parental controls, if you're worried about that stuff, then. And I think we're definitely getting, like Charlie Cox is going to be in appear in She-Hulk and I think also Echo. So like we're getting like a bunch of Daredevil before he comes back in his full show. May 3rd, 2024 is Captain America: New World Order, which is it's gonna be the first Anthony Mackie Captain America movie. No idea what the hell the plot is. It's just New World Order. Like I don't know who he would be fighting or whatever, but that's gonna be the big Captain America movie, or the big post Captain America Falcon and Winter Soldier. July 26th is Thunderbolts. Which is gonna that's gonna be the end of phase 5. Which, I mean, for Thunderbolts, it seems like pretty obvious that like Julia Dreyfus is like building, is she someone like gathering the Thunderbolts? Like I would bet like any amount of money that U.S. Agent is gonna be in the Thunderbolts.
Is that gonna be like Hydra then?
I don't know if they're Hydra or just like, or she's like, I'm just like, we need like a team that can like do dirty. Like she's like an Amanda Waller style person. Or just like, we need to like a team that can do like the dirty work that like the Avengers won't do or something. But yeah, like once, I mean, that was all set up in like Falcon War. So like 1000% US Agent Wyatt Russell is going to be in that. I would probably also bet like a lot of money that like Elena will probably be on that team as like the new Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who else is like sort of maybe more anti-hero or not world destroying evil, but like evil enough to like be on a team to like and do like Black Ops dirty work. I saw some people saying like Taskmaster maybe, because they kind of left her out, like she's around still
loose and just walking
and not brainwashed anymore. I mean, I guess we have to see like what happens with She-Hulk, but like a lot of Abomination, like he's been showing up quite a bit and stuff recently, so maybe he's like the, like, because like they had like Red Hulk on a Thunderbolts team, so like maybe if they need like a Hulk style character, they'd have like Abomination on that team, and he was also like formerly a soldier, so maybe that would like, it's like, oh, you were a soldier, you can like take orders, like even though you're like a crazy monster now.
So Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see like an anti-Avengers team, basically.
It'd be amazing if they like if this was like the thing that like brought like John Bernthal back as the Punisher.
But then it's like, does he work well on a team? And it's
Yeah.
like, everyone's a super powered person but him.
Yeah, the most recent Thunderbolts team I remember reading was like the one where it was Red Hulk, like Thaddeus Ross was like got them all together, and it was Punisher, Elektra, Deadpool, and Flash Thompson Venom. And then also like the leader, but it was like Red Leader. That was like the Marvel Now like re relaunch when they le that was like what 10 years ago or however long that was. That was the last like Thunderbolts team I remember. But there's been like tons of other Thunderbolts iterations throughout everything, so. Oh, maybe like Ghost maybe might be on that team too. She's still out there doing stuff. Although
Yeah,
is she or is she
I've not heard of her in a while.
yeah or is she more of like a hero now because she was just a misunderstood person. I don't know. We got a couple of years for them to like set tee up some more people, and then maybe we'll in like end next year we'll have a better idea of who the Thunderbolts are going to And then kicking off Phase 6 is going to be Fantastic Four, November 8th. So Fantastic Four are back in the MCU, the MCU version of Fantastic Four, November 8th. And then 2025. Two Avengers movies. So it's Avengers: The Kang Dynasty on May 2nd, which is actually we learned like a couple days after Comic Con that Destin Daniel Cretton, who directed Shang-Chi, is directing that movie. And then we're getting November 7th, 2025. So two Avengers movies in the same year. So November 7th, 2025, Avengers: Secret Wars.
Okay.
Which I mean, like Secret Wars, like I didn't read the newer Secret Wars. I mean, obviously I read the classic 80s Secret Wars, but I didn't read the new one. But the new one is like more of like a multiversal battle, right? It was like multiple versions of everyone came together and were fighting each other. Did you read that, Chris, or no?
No. I always confuse like the Super Wars one with the what's the one that they based like a card game off of, where it's like the different realms,
Well, that was Contest of
like Battle World?
Champions. Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
Battle World was the new Secret Wars. That like it was like
Oh,
battle
okay.
it was like different chunks of different universes came together. Like they like, I don't know if I can't remember if it's still the Beyonder, but like it was like yeah, it was like the Battle World was made of like different chunks from different universes, I think, and then it was like different versions of different characters fighting each other. So that I mean that sounds like the whatever they're doing like the multiverse, like that sounds like the big like final like here's like all the Spider-Men are back. All the here's like five different versions of Captain America. Like it's like
But we'll probably want to get Chris Evans again because he just doesn't want to come back.
yeah. And
It's
then
Scott Eastwood. Just there you go.
yep. And then also like I don't think they were on the schedule, but there's also supposed to be that Werewolf by Night Halloween special that's on Disney Plus, and then there's also like the Guardians of the Galaxy like holiday special, which I think is supposed to be this holiday season. There's supposed to be a new Guardians of the Galaxy kind of like half hour, 45-minute, hour long special. And then I don't think they said the date. I think it's like early. I think it's like it's also in that spring time frame next year. But What If season 2 is coming soon. Which they for that they announced that one of the stories they're going to do is 1602.
Oh, the old
The deal game and like they're in like colonial America like
yeah. I mean, I've read like a few of them. I like I read the original one where it's like the Captain America is actually from the future, went back in the past and became a Native American. There's like an old Nick Fury that worked for the Queen of England. The Peter Parker was a bard, I think, who then got bit by a spider and became Spider-Man.
yeah.
There's like a weird version of X-Men. Yeah, it was interesting. Like, Not everyone's favorite, but I thought it was a cool take.
But yeah, but that'll be one of the what if stories. And also, like, they didn't really, I don't really, they said too much else about, there's gonna be like another Captain Carter story, so more Captain Carter in What If season two. They're not season three of What If, so What If is definitely getting a third season. And then I think they also mentioned like the Marvel Zombies show is gonna be R-rated, like the first R-rated like Disney Plus show, and like they kind of like reveal that it's gonna be, just gonna be like a kind of like expanding on like the What If story that was in season one, but like so like a full like Marvel Zombies show.
Okay.
But yeah, lots of Marvel stuff on the way. If you're we basically know what's going on for the next 3 years, so just get ready to gorge on all of the shows and movies. So over on the DC side of things, not too much, just because there's some issues going on with behind the scenes with some stuff over at DC. But they had trailers for their two movies that are going to be for this year. So we got the first trailer for Shazam, Fury of the Gods, which is coming in December 21st. Which it looks fun. Looks like they got the same tone as the first movie. They have to fight Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu.
I wasn't a big Shazam fan, let alone I just feel like this is toned down from the stakes from the last time when there was a guy that literally killed like a boardroom of his like family's company, and now it's like here are two witches or Atlanteans that are just
they're like the daughters of Atlas, who like Atlas is willing to, where one of the gods or like one of the where like Shazam gets his powers from. And so they're like, oh, why does this child have the power of our father? Like, we deserve that power, so we're gonna take it for ourselves. And it's also there's like six Shazams now. Like, it's like his entire family's Shazams.
Well, isn't so that like the way in the comic that's like they're all family Shazam?
Yeah, I'm just saying like it's the first movie he's by himself. Now there's like six people with the same power as him. So the villains have to be like even more of a threat, which I guess we'll see in the movie, but like it seems like they're kind of just like doing like normal magic. Like there didn't seem to anything like too like crazy overpowered about them. They're like causing like a like some sort of like roots or something to grow, right? They're like causing like destroying a city with like kind of like some sort of like weird growth that was happening, but like and then Shaman Hansi's just like, your world's not gonna survive this. It's just like, all right, I guess we'll have to see. But yeah, David F. Sandberg's back to direct. He directed the first one, so you can check that out right around Christmas time. And then a new Black Adam trailer, which I mean, not really. Like, it was, I think it was new stuff, but still kind of just like, I think we get the gist of Black Adam now. We've seen a bunch of stuff. We know what's going on with it. He's gonna fight the Justice Society. There was some cool like Justice Society stuff. Like there was like Dr. Fate kind of like going like Dr. Strange on like Black Adam, like it was like multiple versions of himself, like trying to like hold him down and stuff, and some Hawkman stuff, some Cyclone stuff.
Yeah, it's cool to see like more roster, more characters, but I always feel like these movie companies are very scared of showing so many like other characters and IPs because they're just afraid of like, I don't know, if they can't retain the actors for this long, or I don't know, like who can buy the rights, you know what I mean? Like I think the days of like characters being bought out by something else is like kind of over. Let alone DC, it's not like some other weird company owns it where it's like, oh, we can't show this other obscure like Marvel character or like, you know, semi-popular Marvel character because I don't know, like T-Mobile owns them or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's that kind of weird, bizarre rule. Spider-Man, I get. Spider-Man, like, Sony believed in. Like, Marvel didn't believe in that at that point before they showed up and funded it. But DC should not have a problem. And in fact, DC has so much, like, hopefully DC and Warner have a good relationship enough to, like, throw in anything in their vault if they want. You know, it's like, oh, you want Bugs Bunny in this random superhero movie? Whatever, throw him in. You know, like, they did that with Space Jam.
I think there's, like, the merger stuff is like causing a lot of weirdness right now.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, just everything with The Flash is, like, a fucking disaster. Like,
that's behind the scenes madness, though.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, how is The Rock's Black Adam gonna, like, work in, like, the Shazam universe and fight Shazam at some point? Like, because I feel like looking at the two trailers, like, I feel like the Black Adam would just, like, rip the entire Shazam film to shreds. Like,
oh yeah, he has no mercy for that, because it just seemed like, well, you're my enemy, I need to destroy you. There's not much to discuss unless for some reason he discovers his humanity side in the next movie, like in his movie, and he basically tones it down dramatically.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to set him up as, like, an anti-hero, kind of, like, at the end of Black Adam, probably, where he's, he'll help save the world, but he's, like, I don't know, I might take it over still, so I don't know. You that option's still available. I'm, like, I helped you this time, but maybe not next time. But we'll find out in October when that comes out. So, like, Black Adam is October 21st in theaters. And then other Comic-Con stuff. We got the first trailer for John Wick 4, which I think it was a director panel that was, like, not really advertised as, like, a John Wick panel or Lionsgate panel. It was just, like, Chad Stahelski was on his panel with, like, other directors, and, like, no one was there. And then, like, Keanu Reeves goes out and says, like, hey, here's the trailer for John Wick 4.
I know, it's like, okay, you saw this comic stuff, what about this?
Yeah, it was probably fairly crowded, but it wasn't like a Marvel like jam-packed like room for I don't even think it was in the Hall H. It was like one of the other rooms, but it's like whoever was in that room got to see John Wick for the four trailer first. But then they put it online. So this is March next year, March 24th. It looks fucking awesome. I mean, just the Donnie Yen, Keanu Reeves, like, sword gun battle alone is probably going to make the movie worth seeing. Because that looks so fucking awesome.
Yeah, then, I mean, you do, as long as you have, like, competent action stars in it, I'm in, you know? It's not hard to sell me on that.
Yeah, a combination of Donnie Yen, Scott Atkins, Clancy Brown, Hiroyuki Sanada, like, are all in this movie. Bill Skarsgård is gonna also, it looks like he's, like, one of the new assassins, so, like, John Wick versus Pennywise. But just, like, all the action looks awesome. The one scene where like John has the nunchucks, he's just, like, beating that guy over the head with them.
Oh my god, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Him just, like, smashing it aggressively in his head, like...
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yes.
Do you think, when you see ninjas, you think it's very, like, swift, and it's, like, swiping it like almost like a staff? But, I guess, like,
just,
real...
Just club, yeah, just using it like a club, but just, like, smash you guys' fed in, yeah.
Yeah, like, I would freak out if, like, if Michelangelo from Ninja Turtles was using that, like, the way you're supposed to, like, hammer someone's face in, like a mace, basically, or a morning star.
Yeah. So yeah, 1000%. Like, this 1000%. This is, like, one of my most anticipated movies next year. Like. And then last big trailer to talk about is it's out next week, but the Sandman. We got the full trailer for that, which is coming to Netflix. The obviously the adaptation of the Neil Gaiman comic. It looks good. It looks like it's gonna be like a very like visually like sprawling and like lots of like they're like, looks like they're definitely throwing like a ton of money at it. It's got a cool cast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out next week, so I'm sure we'll probably like. I mean, actually, we probably won't talk about it next week because we record like before it comes out. But like, 2 weeks we'll probably talk about it. But yeah, this new trailer kind of gives more of like a idea of like what the plot is gonna be, where it's like Morpheus gets captured for like 100 years, and then like he's trying to like rebuild his kingdom, and then also like a nightmare from his like dream realm, who's played by Boyd Holbrook, just like escapes and is just like running around Earth like murdering people and like causing mayhem.
So did Dream Man, I mean, did the Sandman create him? Like, create this, like, nightmare man?
I think Morpheus creates everything. Like, he creates dreams and nightmares, but then they're supposed to stay in, like, the dream realm or the dreaming, or, like, his kingdom, but then, because he wasn't there for 100 years, like, I think, like, people, like, things got loose, including, like, the Corinthian, which is Boyd Holbrook's, like, nightmare creature. Because you see, like, he returns, like, his, like, you know, like, his, like, castle or whatever, it's, like, in ruins, because he hasn't been there for 100 years. And then he also has to, like, go visit, like, his siblings and his family, like, the Endless, so it's, like, he has to go visit, like, Desire and Death and Despair, and, like, maybe, like, get their help to, like, rebuild the dreaming.
Because I always misunderstood why, like, the Sandman was captured and, like, what happened to humanity. Like, we just moved on and just sort of, like, didn't dream as well.
No one dreamed for 100 years, apparently. I guess we'll find out. But, yeah, it's going to be 10 episodes. And, yeah, next Friday is when that debuts. So you can check that out soon. And just a couple of quick bits from Comic-Con. Actually, some actual comic news that from Comic-Con. There's going to be a new Gargoyles comic that picks up from the where the original series left off. Dynamite Entertainment's doing that. And Greg Wiseman, who created the Gargoyles, is going to be like work as kind of creative consultant on the comic, so to have it like tie into the show more. And they're also going to republish the Marvel comics that came out in the 90s that was like not officially canon to the Gargoyles, but like it was like kind of like sides, like alternate universe side story kind of things. But like Dynamite's going to republish all 12 issues of that. And then we're also getting a big new Spawn Batman crossover. So Todd McFarlane and Greg Capullo announced that they're doing a new Batman Spawn comic that's going to be out, I think this fall or this winter. It's gonna be like a 48 page one shot.
That's plenty of story.
And DC's along kind of the same thing that Dynamite was doing with Gargoyles. DC is going to republish the like second Batman Spawn crossover, like Batman Spawn War Devil. It's going to come out November 15th to kind of hype up the new one. So if you never read that, you can check that out when that comes out and then get the new one.
I forgot like why Batman was in New York.
I think I have the first one, which is like Image published the first one, which was like 94, and like Frank Miller wrote that one. But I think it was something where like I can't remember if he like they were in the same universe or like something happened and like Spawn like ended up in Gotham, and then like he was like I think he thought that the Joker was like a demon or something. Obviously the Joker was involved because the Joker's always involved, but like that was like I think the first one was like something with like he was trying to track down the Joker for some reason and like ends up fighting Batman and they have to team up or something. But so December 13th is going to be when the new one, Batman Spawn number one, is going to be out at your local comic shop or on Comixology or wherever you get comics. And Heavy Metal is apparently like the Heavy Metal magazine. Speaking of comic stuff, they're apparently like launching their own Metalverse, which is gonna be like live action TV shows and movies.
I wonder if it's being sexy and weird as the comics.
They put out a test footage, which is like they had like some like model dressed as like Tarna, like just like and then like gets naked and like puts on her armor and like flies a dragon and stuff. So it's gonna they're gonna do like movies and shows based on like their like some of their like classic stories.
Live action, that's a game or something.
Yeah, all live action, yeah. Which I feel like they tried to do that in sci-fi. There was like that Metal Hurlant show that like lasted for like a couple episodes, but that was like that because I think Metal Hurlant is like what it's Heavy Metal's name in France. This like the original like magazine or whatever, but yeah, that didn't last very long. and I think that show had like no budget either, so I don't know, like hopefully these have like slightly more budget. And I think there's basically like gonna like sell it off to like whoever wants. Like it's like they're not like making their own streaming service or something. It's just like, oh hey Netflix, do you want like this like you want this like Heavy Metal like based show, like, or like Prime, Amazon, you want this show, or like. So, but yeah, I guess these are going to start coming in the near future here. Like, the first one's going to be like next year, I think, maybe, called Moon Lake. It's going to be like a horror comedy. This one is going to be like animated, so like they're not all gonna be like live action, but like a lot of them are gonna be live action. But this one's gonna be like a kind of 30-minute anthology where it's like the man in the moon has to like keep aliens occupied by telling them like crazy shocking gruesome stories.
Okay, interesting.
And I guess the only other big thing was like they confirmed another Walking Dead spinoff. there's been talk for like forever since Andrew Lincoln left the show of like, oh, there's gonna be like Rick Grimes, like maybe a theatrical movie, maybe AMC Plus original, like a exclusive movie that'll like pick up where like to like follow like what Rick was up to after he like left the show. But apparently now it's gonna be it's like a limited series on spinoff show. I don't know if it's going to be AMC Plus exclusive or like on AMC, but it's going to be Rick and Michonne, what they were up to after they both left the show.
Like, and Michonne left?
Yeah, she left like the season after because she's like, oh, I'm going to go find Rick, and then left. But yeah, it's going to be like a 6-episode limited series with those two coming back. And that's on top of the Daryl show. That's apparently like I think Daryl goes to Europe or something. And then the like Negan Maggie like New York City show, where they end up in like apocalyptic New York. And there's also Tales from the Walking Dead, which is, like, I think is coming out in a couple weeks, which is like an anthology show. And I think like Fear the Walking Dead is still going on. So like. They are still, even though the main show is ending like in like this fall, like AMC is still gonna milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah, really beat that dead horse until it somehow comes back to life again.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that was. Like, I mean, there's tons of other stuff to happen, but like, that's pretty much a lot of like the major Comic-Con stuff. So you know, it's good to see Comic-Con back to kind of. Pretty much back to normal. Like they had like obviously the huge Marvel panel, which they would have, and like tons of people were there. They had like all the big like crazy like events outside. There was like a big like Game of Thrones House of Dragons thing where you like walk through like an entire like Halloween Horror Nights maze basically and stuff. So it was cool. It's fun. It was good to see like Comic-Con back to like basically full strength or like close to full strength.
Right.
So, so that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And, Chris, did you see anything over the last week or so here?
Yeah, I finally saw it last night in Soho.
Okay.
I know, it was just on HBO Max. And
I think they added, like, maybe, like, last month or something, or fairly recently.
Did it?
Yeah, it's been there for a little bit, I think. Like, maybe like a month or two.
Damn, but I stumbled upon it finally.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it, and I enjoy the twist. I enjoy the story. There are some glaring plot holes that it got to me, where I was like, all right, this kind of ruined. If they explain two or three things, it would have been fine. I like the concept. I like the characters. I like the world. You know, I was like, the twist gets you well.
Well, I think I mentioned when I saw it like in theaters like last year on the podcast, but like it seemed like they were setting up more of like Eloise was gonna be like possessed by Sandy and not like just like
living
see the
a
past, because like that first flashback is like she has like physical like remnants of the past, like she's like a hickey on her neck and stuff. It's like,
and then so it's gone.
Yeah, so, but it, so I was, oh, is she like? Because I thought it was like, oh, she's gonna like prevent like her murder or something, or like be like
Eloise
like,
is gonna like merge realms or something.
Yeah, or get possessed by her, or, like turn into her or something. But like, it's just like no, she just sees the past. Like she has visions of it. Like
so, and then it's like, does Eloise? I mean, Eloise. Yeah, no, Eloise. Does she have powers? Yeah, right. Like the movie only makes sense if she has powers.
They like, yeah, they mentioned that like she sees her mother's ghost all the time or something, and then or like she sees ghosts before she moves to London, and then she has some sort of like psychic power, or she's like sensitive to ghosts. Yeah, she's like a medium or some kind or something.
See, the movie makes sense that way, but it doesn't. Her powers don't make any sense. I don't know what exactly her like limits are, or like what, how to, you know what I mean? Like it seems like ghosts are attracted to her because she can see them. But like, and they mentioned how London is full of dead people, right? Mm-hmm. She would constantly be bombarded like every street corner then.
Yeah.
Or, you know, everywhere she goes, she would be haunted. Mm-hmm. So why just this one house? And then it's like, go back to the dorm. If your problem is that your house scares you, go back to the dorm. Right?
Yeah.
It's not like you don't have a place to live. You just don't like it. But it's like, you would rather live with the ghost people than go back to the dorm and deal with like the occasional party people.
I guess it's fun at first, because it's like she gets to like live like have like the fun part of the 60s, and then it gets like darker as it goes on.
Oh yeah, it's like the rose tint glasses are off, and you realize how shitty like it is. And I agree. There's some people that review the Saw's movie and go like, Edgar Wright is just pointing out how shitty it is, like it is to be in London, regardless of the error. It's all around bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't like, yeah, like, you know, you beat the city. It's more like, you know, it's only like a amount of time before the city beats you. So, the message is weird.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed it, but like I definitely yeah. if it had been with like the first flashback promised of like, oh, she's like affecting the past, or like the past is affecting her, and then like the timelines are gonna merge or something at some point. Like I would like that seems like way more interesting to me than like
twist.
There's like I gotta track down, like I gotta like stalk Terrence Stamp or whatever.
Yeah, that part I'm fine with. Like I basically was like theorizing at least like three different plot areas the movie can head into. Mm-hmm. And I was fine dropping the like past comes alive. Okay, that's gone. Then are we dealing with like a murder mystery? Sort of, but then it's like ghost movie and then not ghost movie. And then I don't know what like.
Well then it's like oh, but then she starts seeing people, because like, it seems like, oh, when she falls asleep, she like sees these visions, but then it's like, oh no, now she just starts seeing them everywhere.
Anytime.
Yeah.
See, like that's the thing. There's no rules. There's no structure.
Yeah, the rules. Yeah, the rules, it's very, like, it more solid structure, like, rules, or, like, a more, like, solid, like, this is what's happening. Like, she's actually going to the past every time she falls asleep. Like,
if she can see the horrors in the room, fine, let's stick to that. Or, like, the room sort of is the Narnia, where, like, she goes to sleep in that room, transports to the past, relive a memory of the previous tenant. I'm fine with that. But, like, the one that pissed me off was, like, oh, she starts seeing ghosts and, like, people and spirits, like, at school, at work, at, like, walking.
Yeah, on the street, yeah, like.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess? Like, when did we establish this? And then it's ambiguous at the end, where it's, like, because it's supposed to show that maybe she's not well, like, it's all in her head.
Yeah.
But then it's proven that it's not. Right, because she actually stumbled upon like a cold case that wasn't a cold case. That
yeah,
surprised,
she found a serial killer. Like,
yeah, no, I remember like just sitting there watching the twist reveal, and I guess we'll talk about it. But you know, just sitting there going, oh, the old lady's Sandy. Oh, and Sandy's a killer. Oh, yeah. And she's trying to kill her. Like, you know, what I mean? Like it was so quick in that progression that I was just like, all right, like this is happening a lot, and I'm thinking to myself like. This guy made Baby Driver, like, he knows pacing. Why is he, like, rushing to the end at this point? Like, it's sprinting it to the end, just to throw as much as he can. And I'm like, you're not shocking me. I'm more surprised that it's happening more than surprised by why it's happening, you know?
Yeah.
Again, visually, movie's great. I'm going to stick around, like, to think about the movie's visuals and actors and, like, just the beautiful cinematography, right?
Yeah,
the one part that I'm just going to be complaining about is at the end where it is Eloise like embracing the ghost of Sandy? Is Sandy haunting her too? Like, I don't know.
Cause that also like that like ending doesn't make sense. Like that ending makes more sense if like she actually like, oh, I changed the past. Like she still died, but she died like in like a, she didn't like get murdered or whatever. It's like she died in, like a normal way. But now, like, I'm like, we're ghost friends now, like, because I changed the past, or like, we're like,
or I've done something to ease her spirit because it makes it seem like Sandy, like, in a character study of it, it's like her whole life's been a prison, like, trying to live in London, trying to live in this house for some goddamn reason, she stayed, you know what I mean? Like, there's that point which doesn't make any sense. It's not like, I get London stole her innocence, right? She got it. She made her way out, and then she just hung out there for like 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's weird. I get like she's guilty, maybe she just whatever, but it's like, no, like you did all this in like a year or two, maybe, and it's like. You couldn't get out. Like this was the only talent guy that recruited you. You know, like there's a lot of like.
And you just lived in the murder house, like and just.
Not
like,
only did you live in it, you bought it.
Yeah.
See, and like you rent that's the room out, that you I was watching a YouTuber called Foundflix.
Yep.
And he pretty much went into like all the highlight points that I had felt, where it's just like, yeah, like this is weird. The movie doesn't make any. There's no tension for her to stay there. Like it just seems like every night she goes and parties and then accidentally becomes a prostitute when she doesn't want to, like she's forced to. But then it's like, no, like she can't get away. Like she doesn't know any other means, but she's a smart person. But for some reason, she's just like bad at this one thing. But then she gets out of it in a violent way. But then just hangs out, like that's why I'm like, what is happening? So that's it. Is that the message? We're like, yeah, like you're just trapped here. Like, is London a prison? Like, you even if you get out of one room, like you're still here. Because mm-hmm. The thing is, Sandy didn't leave London. Like, she died and is now trapped with this girl, like who's in London again. And for all intents and purposes, she probably bought the building after. I don't, you know, like, oh, this building got burnt damage. Oh, like, oh, I guess I could buy it now. And then, you know, Eloise lives there. So, yeah, like, it just doesn't stick the landing. and it tries to do so much at the end that it kind of ruins the momentum it was going for. It kind of hits a wall, like, in the third act, and then it just tries its best to kind of, like, not, like, confuse you, but all it did was confuse me more. So, yeah, Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, it's definitely not my favorite Edgar Wright movie, but, like, I mean, it's a, like, maybe not as great Edgar Wright movie, is still better than, like, half, like, most of the stuff that comes out.
True.
At least like, and it's still, yeah, it's still, like, just visually just, like, yeah, amazing. Like, that first flashback with just all the tricks of him, like, where they, like, constantly flip back and forth, and you see, like, all the mirror stuff and everything. Like, it's just, if you watch, like,
yeah, that part is great. Like, that's the problem. Like,
if you watch, like, the behind the scenes, yeah, I feel like that scene is so good. It's, like, sets up so much stuff that, like, or, like, has so much potential, and then they kind of just, like, never go back to anything they set up in that flashback.
Yeah, that's, like, the unfortunate part. Like,
yeah,
there are great elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, it just doesn't seem that appealing. So, after that, I finally finished up The Terminal List.
Okay.
And did you get to it?
I haven't gotten to it yet, though.
Okay, like, it does that thing, too, where it takes its time to build up, but it's still a little confusing on how, at least by, like, episodes, because it's only 8 episodes, but, like, by the time you hit the 8th episode, you just want to get to the finish line. And then it sort of delivers, like, a final twist, but at that point you're just writing out on it, so it could be, like, it could be whatever at that point, you know. Like, I don't want to ruin it, because I feel like I saw it right after Soho, so, like, my head was just like, all right, like, anything's possible. And then when I saw this, I was like, yep, this is the anything is possible part.
Did it wrap up, like, the season story, or the, like, is it, like, just like, hey, cliffhanger, come back for season 2, like, because I don't.
It can be either or. Like, they don't need a season 2, even though there's, like, 5 books.
I was just gonna say, did you, like, have you finished The Old Man yet?
Not yet.
Because that
like a season 2 ending.
That is, like, that the season finale of that show is, like, just feels like just another episode. Of, like, all right, here we go. But then you have to wait, like, a year for the next episode. Oh, like. Crap. It's like they don't really wrap up, like, they kind of wrap up some things, but it's very just like it's gonna continue. Like, like,
so,
we're not.
So yeah, I would say it ends well, that if they ever did a sec, because even, like, the next series of books, they're completely different from where the main book starts. It eventually becomes, like, a Bourne Identity series. But, like, instead of, like, some supernatural amnesiatic agent, he's just, like, a Navy SEAL commander who's on the run. So, the first, that's what I'm saying, like, it becomes towards that by the end.
Sounds like it kind of becomes like Jack Reacher, too. Just like he's just like going around, like.
I would say, but he's wanted. Like, Jack Reacher is just, like, so good. He knows how to live off the grid. Where basically now you have a guy who, not to spoil much, but, like, he sort of wages warfare, like warfare in domestic land. So, like, he is. Sort of a terrorist, but he's, like, he's justified. And he only terrorizes, like, bad guys. Even though there's some parts where it's, like, questionable, but it's, like, all right, I get it. And there's some people who understood, yeah, like, this was the only way, like, he had to do it, or else there'd be no justice. So, but, like, I would say it ends on a note where, like, if they never do another season, it's fine. You know, I pretty much got all the answers I needed. It doesn't end with more questions. The only question I had is just, like, I have to, like, look up online and figure out how this conspiracy plays out. And, like, what, like, you know, all the or how everything was. Only because, again, I watch this in bits, and the show kind of punishes you for, like, doing that, where, like, you have to sort of marathon at least three episodes in a row to kind of, like, remember certain key plot points. Because even though they might go back over a few things, you just sort of forget, like, the connections and then, like, how this started. Because they have so many other things going on. There's so much, like, other drama. Or sort of, like, you'll see these, like, flashbacks that happen. This constant flashback of a bird hitting, the house and it's sort of, like, supposed to be symbolic of, like, okay, like, this is the dark truth of life and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Visually very, like, cool, but, like, story-wise repeats a lot to the point where it's like a Batman having a flashback of his parents getting murdered over and over again. Like, that happens. It's like, you know, that kind of impact where it's like, oh, this is a very, like, key moment in my life. I remember it. It finally comes full circle at the end to see, like, the meaning and then the, like, what makes it special for him to remember this over and over again. And again, you have to see it because it's like, it's kind of not, like, obvious. I mean, no, it is obvious, but it's, like, sort of played out to be very dramatic. But then after, by the 10th version of the flashback, you're kind of over it. But the story is fine. And you Chris Pratt, like, his tough guy, like, soldier look is pretty fun, considering that, like, his, you know, he's sort of like a playful guy in real life. And in this, you can kind of believe him to be like a just nothing to lose man. So I would praise that and say it's worth watching. But again, I watched The Old Man and this together, and I just had to stop watching The Old Man, so I just finished this at least.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll probably go back to The Old Man later. Now that I know the season's over too, but I don't need to, like, edge of my seat watch it where basically it ends on a like season two ending.
Yeah, and there's definitely a season two of Old Man coming. So
see. Meanwhile, Terminal List, it ended well, and I don't need a season two. Like, I feel like if they didn't, I'll be fine with it. But if they did, I still will watch it just to see where it goes. But then it just becomes like a generic action show instead of like the, like, heart behind what motivates, or the broken heart that really motivates Chris Pratt's character.
I'm surprised they haven't announced season two yet, because, like, it's, like, the most watched thing on, like, Prime Video for, like, the last couple weeks, so.
Yeah, I mean, because it's, again, just Chris Pratt has a lot of, like, household name now. He plays kind of, like, a different character from his, like, you know, goofy, lovable guy. He's lovable, but he's also very, like, broken. And he's very tormented. But damn, like, I just feel like it's like a good, this would have been a fun movie, but the fact that they dragged it out to be like a full series, and it does well. Like, and there's a lot of surprise twist that you just have to see to witness it, and it's pretty action packed. So I definitely recommend it, Zach. So we can be on the same page.
Yeah, I'll get to it at some point.
You still haven't watched Jack Reacher. So,
no.
Like, Amazon is doing well.
I gotta get on some Prime. My Prime Video stuff is, like, I definitely have, like, a big backlog over there.
Gotcha. And I got, last note, I'm just hate watching Resident Evil. I'm on, like, episode, like, 5, and I'm just like, god damn, like, still, like, 3 more episodes or so to get to the end, just to see, like, some crazy,
mm-hmm,
story connections and the bad acting. Oh my god, the bad acting. And then just to see the Albert Wesker we're sort of used to from the games of making a version appearance, because, like, there's either a flash forward or flash back where, like, Albert Wesker looks like he is from the games, but he looks like a cosplay version, and it just looks
weird. That's what I heard, yeah.
I can't tell that's the future or the past, like, but I don't care. I'm just like, what is this?
A lot of people are saying, like, the show is horrible, but, like, Lance Reddick is, like, carrying it on his back. Like, he's just, like,
yeah, he is the only reason to watch this show.
If he was in the show, it'd just be like an irredeemable, like, cesspool. Like it's still it sounds like it's still like just an absolute horror show of like it's like an absolute like just garbage fire, but like he at least makes it like you can like struggle through
enjoyable.
It with his yeah.
Yeah, no, honestly, like he's fine. He really is the best reason, but you shouldn't root for him because in the sense of where we knew him from, this is like a different character. Why are we watching the Wesker like Family Hour? And then it's like he really tries his best to do what he can, and it's like, oh, he's a horrible person, but like, hey, he's trying to redeem himself. And then it's like him being a father is fine. Like that part was actually pretty nice. It's the like the daughters who I just don't care about. They're like 14-year-old girls, but like you just, I maybe it's just the new age of teens, but I'm like, oh, screw these people. Like I can give a rat's ass what happens to them in this like Raccoon City experiment thing.
Yeah, the only clip I've seen, well, I think a lot of people were sharing it because like it's so fucking insane. Is like, I guess there's one point where like one of the villains is like brainwashed by another villain, and she's like lip syncing to like a Dua Lipa song.
No, I didn't get to that. Oh my god!
Yes, there's like out of nowhere, just like yeah, like I saw like people were posting all over like Reddit and like YouTube and stuff, just like this is an actual scene from Resident Evil.
But see, that's the thing where, like, I've seen people hate it in the beginning, then say, it gets better, and then they finish it, and it's not as bad as you think. But it's like, really? Because this is the path it took to get to, like, okayness. And I'm like, there are fun characters. I just wish the story focused more on them. Mm-hmm. And then I don't like the dual presentation of the future events and then the previous events, like when she was 14 and when she's like questionably age 30s, you know, it's like I don't like this like format, because like as soon as I get into because everything in the past sucks. Maybe the Wesker parts are good, but 90% is just bitchiness that I just don't care for. Like it's just CW garbage. And then like there's just so like I'm not sure if you've seen, but, like, it's, you know, these two sisters, they're like, you know, twin sisters, and the story explains why they don't look like each other, but they're twins. The one sister who really is, like, the main character, she tries her best, but her, like, younger sister, her other sister, like, she just, like, hates the fact that she has friends and, like, is likable and stuff, and it's just, like, what is, like, what? It's definitely, like, out of nowhere CW, like, insert drama moment here. So, not a fan of that. Maybe that's just me, because it's like, who's the show for? Like,
no, I think the reviews are horrible. The audience review is horrible. Like, it has like a if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 20% or something. Like some horrible. It's got like terrible reviews, and also like the audience reviews are like super super low. So like, yeah, no one likes it.
But yeah, just like, who's the show for? I just want to know that. If someone answered me that, because it's like not for fans, it's not for teens. Yeah. All right, what have you been watching, Zach?
Well, I'll keep it in TV first. For my first thing, I saw the first three episodes of Harley Quinn, because that's back finally after 2 years. So yeah, season three, they dropped three episodes on HBO Max, and then one episode a week for next couple months here. Did you see season two, Chris?
I'm like almost at the end of it.
Okay.
I took my time with it.
So yeah, so it picks up 2 weeks after season two. I mean, I think it's been in all the trailers and stuff, but like obviously like the big thing that happened at the end of season two was like that Harley and Ivy became like an actual like romantic couple along with like best friends. So that's where like this new season picks up. They're on their Eat Bang Kill tour. It's like their unofficial honeymoon, or just like going around like just causing crazy chaos around the world. But then it's like kind of the main kind of plot is like Ivy wants to like do her lifelong dream of like turning Gotham into like a like plant, like destroy all the buildings and just turn it all into like a big like plant like Eden basically, and Harley's like is like super supportive of her to do that. So that's like the big like villain plot for this season. But there's also like just tons of stuff, other stuff going on. Like James Gunn is playing himself in the season, and he's like directing like a Thomas Wayne biopic, and then Clayface is all like trying to like get into that. And then they bring Nightwing in for like the Batman side of stuff, and he's played by like Harvey Guillen from What We Do in the Shadows, like Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows is playing Nightwing.
That's cool.
That was like the second episode. There's like a ton of funny stuff with like him coming back and like just being an asshole to like all the Bat family because he's been like Bloodhaven by himself and he thinks he's like the Bat, like he's just like he's like doing like the super serious like Christopher Nolan like Batman voice and stuff, and then like Batman's even just like why not maybe tone it down a little bit with a serious voice, like it's a little over the top. And he needs to like deal with like Batgirl and like Damian are there now. It's like they weren't there when he left, so it's like he has to like deal with like these new people, like these the new Bat family members and stuff. And like Gordon's running for mayor, with Two-Face as like his campaign manager.
What?
Yeah, like lots of this crazy stuff happening, but it's all super fun. It's all like the same, like it's. Exactly, it's like exactly the same tone and like humor and everything as the first two seasons. It hasn't lost any step or anything. So if you like the first two seasons, like definitely jump right into season three. It's great. Like the past two seasons, lots of just great references to like actual like the movies and like behind the scenes, and like they bring in like people of like they actually like people like voiced characters in the past, like Diedrich Bader is Batman because he was like Batman for like a bunch of other like animated stuff. So like, they bring back people to voice characters sometimes, and like they reference like obviously the James Gunn thing and stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's great. There's an actor, I won't spoil it, but like there's an actor who's like starring in the James Gunn movie that like is playing himself that shows up. Like it's like the third episode. It's like one of the most hilarious things for the whole show so far. So yeah, definitely check out Harley Quinn on HBO Max. And then I saw The Gray Man on Netflix, the big Netflix movie from last weekend, which I think it's the most expensive Netflix movie ever made. It's like cost like over $200 million. And it's the Russo brothers. They directed like a movie, it was like Cherry or something on Apple TV Plus with Tom Holland that did horrible, but this is like their first really like huge blockbuster again post, you know, Avengers Endgame, Infinity War. And based on the book, so you know, like obviously like The Terminalist or The Old Man, like all these other like spy things recently, like it's based on a novel, it's based on a series of novels, but it's based on the first one. And Ryan Gosling is the Gray Man, or like there's like a bunch of gray men. It's there's like this secret CIA program called the Sierra program that like they basically like recruit prisoners. It's kind of Suicide Squad esque a little bit, where they basically like go to prisons and recruit prisoners, and it's like, hey, if you come work for the CIA, do Black Ops for us, like we'll get you out of prison.
What kind of prisoners were these?
Well, I think like Ryan Gosling, like he had like a horribly abusive father, so he like killed his father at some point to like protect his brother, but like he went to jail for murder for that, obviously. But then Billy Bob Thornton shows up. He's like, oh hey, I work for the CIA, like you want to come work for me and do like Black Ops stuff. And then so basically like Ryan Gosling does that for the next 18 years. But then when the movie kicks off, like he's doing a mission in Bangkok, but then like he finds out that the guy he's trying to, that they send him to kill is like another like Sierra number. So like Ryan Gosling is Sierra 6, and then the guy they send him to kill is Sierra 4. And then Ryan Gosling gets like stolen information that like one of the new like CIA higher ups is like doing like illegal stuff with like CIA assets. Like he's basically just running the CIA as like his own like personal like mercenary army. So that puts him on like in the crosshairs, like, and then like this corrupt new CIA like official like sends mercenaries after him, and the mercenaries are led by Chris Evans, who is just crazy psychopath mercenary who used to be in the CIA, but they kicked him out because he was too crazy.
He was too good at his job.
Yeah, he likes torturing and murdering people too much, so they kicked him out.
I mean, he's got that villain stash.
Yes, Chris Evans seems like he's having a blast this movie. Like he's just like totally leaning into this. Like I'm a like a I'm taking like super, super gleeful like joy in like killing people or torturing people or like there's like a scene where he's like torturing somebody. He just comes up behind and like pulls his ears and he's just like I just thought of that. That's not even like a torture thing. I just came up with that myself. Like I don't know. Like
you know, it was improv.
Yeah, like he's doing like torture improv basically. Yeah. But yeah, plot wise, like this movie is like if you've seen like it doesn't do anything really original. Like it's like it's if you've seen like the Bourne movies or like Mission Impossible, like it's not really doing anything like you haven't seen before plot wise. I think the main reason to see it is definitely like the action sequences, because the action sequences are all pretty like awesome and like huge and like there's like an open like the opening is in Bangkok is like super well done. Like it's also like a showpiece for like if you have like HDR or like 4K where it's like just like the colors of Bangkok where there's like fireworks going off and stuff. Like it's like a total like TV showcase if you want to show off your TV. But it's also doing things like I've never seen like guys like fight on like a fireworks barge where like fireworks are going off from it. So they're like Ryan Gosling is it's like fighting a guy like in like this like. In the middle of like these like fireworks tubes where like the fireworks get launched out of and they're like going off around them as they're fighting each other.
I did see that.
That's like a cool like wow. I don't think I've ever seen this before. It was like guys fighting in the middle of like fireworks going off, and also like using the fireworks like at one point like right out going like CR6 like shoves the guy's head into like a firework going off and it like burns his face and stuff. So. And there's also like a huge like shootout in like Vienna with like multiple mercenary teams and like Ryan Gosling is like handcuffed to like a bench. He's like trying to like figure out his way out of this bench while he's like two or three mercenary teams like are closing in on him. And then like that like leads to like a fight in like a public transit tram that's like going through the city and like Anna de Armas is like trying to find that follow them in a car. So it's like there's like these huge crazy set pieces that are all like all pretty awesome. So I would say definitely come for the action sequences and then like the plot, but you're not gonna be like really impressed by the plot. Like you'll probably be able to guess like everything that happens in the plot, multiple scenes ahead of time. Like he'll be like, oh, I know what's gonna happen to this guy. Like I've seen this before in like another movie. But yeah, if you want just like a fun, like big blockbuster action movie, I would say definitely if you check it out on Netflix. And then I finally saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, the big A24, the highest grossing A24 movie of all time, which also co-produced by the Russo brothers, so another Russo brothers connection there. And yeah, like tons of hype for this movie, and I think it definitely lives up to the hype. Like it's pretty great. Like just so super inventive with like the visuals and like the ideas, and like I mean there is they do kind of borrow. There's like ideas that like from like it's like influences from like The Matrix and stuff. Like you can see like other kind of influences from other movies, but like it's doing it all. It's doing it like in its own like really unique way. And you basically have Michelle Yeoh, who's playing this woman named Evelyn, who runs a laundromat with her husband. And her husband's played like Ki Kwan, who's back. Like he hasn't been back since like the 90s. Like the last movie he was in was like Encino Man. But like obviously he was Short Round. He was Short Round in Data from the Goonies and Temple of Doom. But he's back. He's awesome. Like he's so good in this movie. Like he's just doing like he's doing everything. Like he's like doing crazy martial arts. He's doing like super like really dramatic like monologues. He's like lovably pathetic. Like he's like badass. Like he's doing everything. Like everyone is doing like it's like literally like listen to the title. Like everyone is doing like everything at some point. Like everyone's playing like multiple versions of themselves and like they're like flipping between personalities and stuff. So everyone in the cast is like doing just like amazing work. But yeah, basically Michelle Yeoh finds out that she finds out about the multiverse, and a version of her husband like jumps into like her husband's body, and it's like so and like is it telling her like oh you're there's like this like evil like entity out there is like, trying to destroy the whole multiverse, and like we think you might be the person that like actually like, stop it, and like the reason is because like. The Michelle Yeoh we meet at the beginning of the movie is like the version of like Evelyn that made all the worst decisions you could possibly make. Like she made like, every single bad decision you could make. Like for like, because like everyone else, all, you see all the other like Michelle Yeohs, and they're like, one's like a martial arts master, one's like a movie star, one's like a successful laundromat person, like in a happy marriage, and then she's just like, the laundromat's failing, they're getting audited by the IRS, like her husband's gonna divorce her, her daughter hates her, like so it's like the first Michelle Yeoh we meet is like, has made every terrible decision you could possibly make in the multiverse. But apparently that makes her like the one that could like stop this like evil that's like destroying the multiverse.
So it's like better than WandaVision.
Well, it's it,
or yeah, not WandaVision, Doctor Strange.
I kinda, yeah. I mean, it's definitely more like creative wise. Like you have to get like to see like way more like weird like multiverses and stuff, and then also like just like all the ideas. Like there's like this thing called like. So the main thing they do is like they call it like verse jumping, where it's like you basically lock on to like another version of yourself in another universe, and you can like borrow their skills. So like Michelle Yeoh is like, oh, she can dial into like her martial arts version in the other multiverse, and then she knows martial arts now. But like they have this like really like funny like creative way of like tapping into those powers, but you have to like do some like really weird like just like bizarre thing to like unlock them, like because there's like they have like some sort of algorithm where it's like you have to like do like these like very unusual things like to like be able to like tap into like the other multiverse, just because like how like impossible it is to like even like see the other multiverse or like tap into the multiverse. So it's like, oh, if you want to like unlock your martial arts skills from this other person version of yourself, you have to like slam a stapler under your hand, or eat an entire stick of chapstick, or do some sort of action to like unlock a multi like the specific like multiverse person you're trying to like lock onto. And so there's
Can you explain how the finger hot dogs became a big thing?
At one point Michelle Yeoh they basically tell her like, oh yeah, you have to do this like this specific thing to like do this one thing, and she's like, I don't want to do that, and so she starts doing like random things, and then so like that just that, like puts her into like random universes or random versions of herself. So like she does like, so one of the random things she does, like she ends up in like the hot dog figure universe, where it's like totally like uncharted off the map multiverse that no one like discovered before, because she's like, oh, she did this one thing, and it's like, oh, now I'm experiencing like hot dog finger universe. It's also like, so you're still like in your universe, but then you like are like, you kind of have flashes like the other, it's not like you're like taking over like the other person's body. It's like you're borrowing their skills, but then you're kind of like also like kind of half seeing their universe and like your universe at the same time. So Michelle Yeoh, like our like the main universe Michelle Yeoh like borrows the martial arts abilities, but she also like has flashes of like that other person's life and like what they're doing at the same time. And you have to like focus on like your universe, or you kind of get like lost in the other universe. It makes sense if you watch the movie. Like they explain it.
I feel like as much as I don't want to like, I mean, I'm gonna watch it. I just feel like I gotta know where the hell to watch this.
I mean, I think it's you can rent it. It's on Blu-ray and DVD now. It's like on digital. You can like, it's, I don't think it's like streaming on like Netflix or like a specific like service, but you can like rent it from like Prime Video or like Vudu or any of those places. And yeah, it's just a lot of great visual stuff, like a lot of great so many great different weird universes. Like yeah, like it's basically like the one universe is basically like Michelle Yeoh like from our universe, like where she's like a martial arts movie star, and there's one where she's like a hibachi chef, and then there's like this whole crazy thing where like her coworker that kind of turns like a ratatouille thing, and then there's like a universe where like everyone's just rocks because there's no humans exist in the universe, so everyone's just rocks with googly eyes. So yeah, it's a very like crazy but creative, and like there's like awesome martial arts fights from people like Ki Kwan and Michelle Yeoh are doing like crazy martial arts like battles with people. As like Ki Kwan like has a whole fight that like definitely feels like straight out of like a Jackie Chan movie where like he's like fighting guys with like a fanny pack.
Right, I did see clips of that online. Yeah. To see like that, the action looks pretty good.
That felt like a just like a straight up like a classic like Jackie Chan like fight scene. And also James Hong's in it, and he's awesome as always. Jamie Lee Curtis is great in it. I would say definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. Like if you've heard like the hype about it, like I think it lives up to the hype. And so that's it for me this week. So we'll wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We've got all kinds of stuff up there. We got all the Comic-Con trailers you can check out. We've got our Everything Action commentaries up for the month. You can check out, you can watch Executive Target with us, the Michael Madsen 1997 Lost Action Gem. And we also have our Gamebox 2.0 for July, where you can check out what games we played for this month. So head over to the site, check all that stuff out. And so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.